Thank you, Sam. Good afternoon. My name is Paul. I'm one of the campus pastors here at New Philly, Sydney. I'm glad you're here with us on the last Sunday of the year. Thank you, Yuri. All right. It's my privilege to bring you the Word of God, the message for today. The last sermon of the year for many of us. All right, let's open up our Bibles. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter in Australia. 2 Peter comes right after 1 Peter. And it comes right before 1 John. It's toward the end of the Bible. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. All right, I'm reading from the ESV. I still hear some pages turning. 2 Peter is a small book. There's only 3 chapters. It's like the 6th or 7th last book of the Bible. Okay, chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him, without spot or blemish, and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, as we look back on this past year. We look back just with so much thankfulness. God, you're a good God. You are faithful through ups and downs, joys and sorrows, through everything, God. You're so good, Lord. And I just, we just give you praise and glory. We just pray your grace on this last Sunday sermon of the year. God, I pray that it will be a word that really speaks to us, resonates, strengthens our hearts, strengthens our faith, God. So, Lord, I ask that you would just fill me with your Spirit and anoint this message with your Holy Spirit. Yeah, just enable me to have the clarity and the freedom and the spiritual power so that it would lead us to lives that are more and more pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So it's the last Sunday of 2015. I don't know what your 2015 was like, but, looking back, there's a lot to be thankful for. I think even just as a campus, there's a lot to be thankful for. I know this is the last Sunday. I know a lot of people are traveling and stuff, but there was a lot of growth at our church. There was a lot of growth in numbers, in our membership, even in our leadership. There's a lot of growth, steady growth throughout the year. There's been growth in our community and our fellowship and our love together as one body, as one people. I feel like there's also been growth in depth and wisdom and maturity and people's faith. And there's been a lot of growth, a lot to be thankful for as a campus. I'm sure if you look back personally, just walking with you guys, doing life with you guys. I know a lot of big things happened this year. Some of you guys got married. 2 became one flesh. Where the new married couples at, right? Some of you got married, and you're experiencing the joys and the sorrows of marriage. A lot of joys, though. Some of you guys, you made big life decisions. Maybe you graduated from school. You started real life in the real world. Started a job. Some of you guys changed jobs. change cities, big changes going on in your life, new directions being set, new levels in your faith and intimacy with the Lord, just seeing what God's been doing in your life. A lot of different things been happening over this past year. You know, as I look back at 2015, I think one thing we can all sense, at least out in the world today, is 2015 reminded us that this world is temporary, and this world is not always so secure, not always the safest place. If we look at the events from this past year, we saw some big terrorist attacks in major cities and a lot of instability across regions. I know in Sydney it was December of 2014, but, you know, even just within the past year, the terrorist thing. Just even a lot of instability economically, financially. As you know, if you've been part of our church for some months, you know, that was a big topic we've been talking about. The return of Christ, the Shemitah, instability in the markets, the global economy. You know, where's our security? Where's our trust? This life and this world is not the most secure, stable place as we might have thought that it was. And also, as a Christian, it's getting more confusing to be a Christian in our world today, isn't it? It's been like that. But more and more, I feel like to be a Christian means more and more you're less accepted in the mainstream of culture, in the mainstream of society. We're more and more marginalized. People kind of look at us, a little funny looks, you know, when they realize we're Christians. Oh, you say Jesus is the only way? Why you got to be so intolerant? You know, why you got to be so narrow? Why you got to, you know, like, just be more open-minded? Yeah, they look at us that way. You know, we had the whole United States decision to legalize same-sex marriage. More and more Christians look like the oddballs. We look like weirdos. We don't really fit in into this world. You know, and so in the midst of all this, a lot of cultural shifts, a lot of threats and dangers, all these things happening as we're looking back, you know, similar to the situation that the Apostle Peter was addressing to his audience in the letter of 2 Peter. And here in this passage, we read the end of the book of 2 Peter. And this whole book, Peter's addressing an audience that's under threats, under false teaching. They're vulnerable. And his heart for them, he says, you know, especially in the passage we read, he feels two things for them. He says, I want you not to lose your stability. I don't want you to learn your secure and firm standing where you're at now. And also, second, I want you to grow. I want these two things for you because, yeah, your life, this world, may not be the most secure, safest place. But that's my heart for you. That's what Peter's saying. And that's my heart as a pastor, as your pastor. That's my heart for you guys. Those two things. And so I felt like it was very fitting to look at this passage at the end of the year. And, you know, for Peter, this is a very personal message because, you know, when he talks about take care that you not lose your own stability, that's very personal for Peter because Peter was a very unstable man earlier on in his life. If you, I kind of make fun of Peter, the Apostle Peter, time to time. But it's because it's just how he's portrayed in the Bible, right? He's, you know, earlier in his life, earlier in his faith, he was quite the unstable man, quite emotional, quite impulsive. He would just blurt things out, and he would be wrong and corrected over and over again. He would make so many bold mistakes. This is the kind of person that he was. And especially, you know, Jesus, towards the end of Jesus' life, as he was about to be killed and taken away, he said to Peter, Simon, Simon, because that's Peter, that was Peter's original name. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And Peter's like, never, Lord, that's never going to happen, right? He's so proud. He's so arrogant. He's not guarded. And what happens? He denies Jesus three times. Denies Jesus. You know, Jesus who says, whoever denies me before men, I will deny before the angels and before God. And Peter denied him three times. He was so complacent. He was arrogant. So, you know that word, what Jesus says, Satan demands to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you turn again, Jesus says, when you turn again, Peter, strengthen your brothers. That word strengthen is a word that's only used a couple times in the entire New Testament. But that's the same word used here. When Peter says, don't lose your stability. Other translations say, don't lose your firm hold. Don't lose your secure position. Because Peter's one, he's a person who lost his secure position. He lost his stability. He was an unstable man. So as he looks at other people, as he looks at his people, his flock, he's like, I want you to be stable. I don't want you to go through instability. I don't want you to lose your secure position. Because I know how easily that could come. When you become complacent, when you become arrogant, when you become stagnant in your faith, and you're not guarded, and you're not prayerful, and you're not vigilant and watching over yourself and your heart, you could easily lose your firm standing. Peter experienced that himself in a very dramatic way. So he doesn't want his people to experience that, right? And you know, when I look at our campus, there's a certain growth and stability. I see a firmness, but my heart for you guys, as we look back on 2015, and as we look forward to a new year, and as we look forward to the rest of our life, my heart is, be on guard and grow so that you will not lose your stability. Don't get complacent. Don't get stagnant. Don't settle for where you are. You know, some of you guys, I'm just so overjoyed and so thrilled as I see what God's doing in your life and how you've been experiencing His goodness, experiencing His grace. You've been growing. And my heart for you is, don't get stagnant. Don't stop there. Don't get complacent. Stay on guard. You know, for those of you who've been walking with the Lord for years, my heart for you is, don't get complacent. Don't harden your heart. Some of you guys, I see you guys, your heart is starting to get complacent. Some of you guys. My heart for you is, don't let your heart get that way. This is Peter's heart for his people. This is my heart for you guys. I think it's very appropriate as we look forward to a new year. You see, listen to what Peter says. Right? Verse 17, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Now here's the key word. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, don't lose your stability, but grow. What's he saying there? What does that mean? He doesn't say and grow. He says but grow. He says the way you don't lose your stability is that you grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus. You see, the Christian life is a growing life. If you're not growing, there's no standing still. There is no stagnant in the Christian life. If you're not growing, then you're falling. Peter says, this is how you don't lose your stability. You got to keep growing. Some of you guys, you've been feeling like, oh, I've been complacent, I've been stagnant. If you're not growing right now, you may already be falling. You may have already fallen. You may already be losing your stability. There is no room for complacency in the Christian life. There's no room for stagnancy. We have to continue to grow. It's like riding a bike. If you ride a bike, you have to keep going. You have to continue to move forward to keep that momentum, to keep that flow. Once you stop, if you try to stand still on a two-wheel bike, you're going to fall. Unless you're like one of those trick bike people, and then, you know what I mean? But that's not what Peter's talking about. He's saying you got to keep moving forward. You got to continue to grow. The Christian life is a growing life. You can't stay where you are. If you think, oh, you know, I've kind of been in the same place, then I just want to say to you, like, watch your heart. Watch where you're at. You know why? Because, see, when Peter says grow, what's he saying? The nature of the Christian life is that there's something alive. To tell us to grow means there's a life inside. Right? You don't tell, like, machines to grow. Like that would be really weird, but I don't say to this pulpit, you know, that's weird, right? But, like, a pulpit can't grow. A chair can't grow. Only living things grow. When Peter says to us, grow, He's acknowledging, listen, there's a life inside you. And living things, healthy living things, they grow. You see, the Bible says that what it means to become a Christian is that there is a new life inside you. See, Jesus uses words like, you have to be born again. You have to be spiritually born. There's a new spiritual life that comes inside you. You know, one of my favorite books is by an old dead guy. I read this book when I early in my Christian years. And just the title of it is called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And I just love that title because this author, this writer, he's saying, this is the Christian life, is the life of God comes inside us. He starts to live within us. The Holy Spirit is alive inside us. We are born again. We're spiritually alive. See, the Christian life is not just stop doing this, start doing that. It's not just duties. It's not just discipline and responsibilities. No, there's a life inside you. There's a life that grows and starts doing these things just on its own. I mean, a lot of us, you know, Christian life is not just, you know, be a better person, you know, grow, like work at this, grow, you know, we got to work hard at the Christian life. It's not something you just sit back, right? That's why Peter, in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, make every effort to grow, to supplement faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with, you know, on and on and on. He says, make every effort. So we got to work hard, but at the same time, there is a life inside us. You know, one of my favorite Christian songs, it's one of my 50 favorite Christian songs, 100 favorites. Anyway, there's the, I forget what it's called. Anyways, it's my third day. And one of the lyrics is, says, we have a life that's deep within us. So don't keep it to yourself. But remember how you felt when you first gave your, all right, anyways, first gave your life to Jesus. I love this song because it talks about there's a life inside us. If you're a Christian, you've experienced that, right? Have you experienced that? That there's a life of its own inside you, a spiritual life with spiritual desires. God himself, the life of God, the life of the Holy Spirit starts to live inside you and you become a new person. If your only understanding of the Christian life is, oh, try harder, do this, feel bad about this, stop doing this. It's very, a lot of duty, a lot of guilt. If that's all you know about the Christian life, if you don't know about this life inside you, like I just as your pastor, that's what happens to every single Christian. That's what happens in the Christian life. If there's no life inside you, that means you're dead inside. There is no life inside. Some of us, we have that life, but we haven't nurtured it. We haven't worked at it. We haven't cultivated it. We haven't paid it any attention. So sometimes our life inside us, the spiritual life, it can get cold. It can get hard. We can become spiritually numb. And Peter's saying here, work that life back up inside you. Grow. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. Let that life grow inside you. You know, so I just want to address, you know, different types of people here today. You know, many of us, we are growing, and I want to encourage you to grow more. But some of us here, we've gotten a bit complacent, right? Our spirits have gotten a little dull, a little dry, a little dead. And Peter's like, that's a dangerous place to be. If you're not growing, you're falling. You're losing your stability. You know, things like, you know, there's this phrase that nobody really uses today, but the old dead guys use, you know, like Christians in the past. I like this phrase. I don't use it all the time, but, you know, they call it the means of grace. The means by which grace comes into our life and we start to grow. Things like reading and meditating on the Bible, that helps us grow. Things like prayer, things like fellowship with the community, things like serving, things like giving. These are means of grace. These are spiritual disciplines, practices that we actually do so that we grow. And there's some of us here who've gotten really, really neglectful in the use of the means of grace, the spiritual disciplines. We hardly ever crack open our Bible. We hardly ever pray outside of church. We hardly ever worship. And seriously, like as your pastor, I am very concerned for you. I am very concerned. You know, I may not always say it so strongly when I speak to you one-on-one, but I'll say it from the pulpit. Seriously, like watch your soul. Watch your soul. If you haven't cracked open the Bible in months, you are in a very precarious situation. I am very concerned for you. You're not concerned for yourself. So feel my concern for you. Please feel it. And feel that urgency. Please. If you won't be concerned with yourself, then I got to be concerned for you. You got to grow. Grow in the grace. Don't be complacent. Don't be stagnant. Open your Bible. Read it. Meditate on it. Pray to God. We got to be growing. There is an urgency and importance to that. You know, others of us, we're complacent in different ways. We've been complacent at different areas of our lives that God's been highlighting. And we kind of, you know, we haven't seen much growth. We haven't seen much change. And so we kind of just let it be and say, oh, yeah, you know, I guess that's just kind of how I'll be. I guess that's just kind of the person I am. You know, it could be habits. It could be patterns. It could be besetting sins that we become complacent with. And we just allow these things to happen in our lives. And we used to fight against them. We used to try to grow. But now, maybe we're just complacent. Maybe we're just discouraged. Maybe we just lost the heart. And we're no longer fighting against them. We're no longer vigilant. We're just allowing these things in our lives. Even attitudes. Things like resentment and bitterness. The Bible says, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, kind to one another. But you're nurturing the grudges, secret resentments in your heart towards certain people. And you become complacent. And Peter says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Don't allow that to be harbored in your heart. Some of us, certain attitudes, self-pity, always feeling, pitying ourselves. Oh, my life's like this. And we like to let other people know. You know, in subtle ways, you know, kind of sideways, right? Oh, but my life is so hard. You know, I got to go through this in my life. All the self-pity. And there's no room for thanksgiving. There's no room for joy. And it's like you become complacent. And you're nurturing those attitudes in your life. And Peter's like, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Don't become stagnant. Don't allow those things to grow unhindered. Fight against those things. You guys feel me? You know, other things like the kind of speech that we have, the kind of words that we say, the way we speak to people, our patterns of speech. Some of us, we really need to grow in how we handle our words and our tone of voice and our attitudes and our spirits. God's been highlighting this to me. But maybe some of us here as well. And Peter's like, you got to grow in grace. You know, maybe it could be worries, fears in your life that you're not growing from. You're not remembering the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. You're not turning your heart to the promises of God and how he's going to take care of you. And you just, life is just one, you know, steady stream of anxiety, staying up late, worrying, concern. And Peter's like, grow in grace. We got to grow in grace. If you're not growing, you might already be falling. You know, just one thing I got to say, right? I don't address this all the time, but, you know, certain patterns of sin, you know, I love New Year's because we make resolutions and, you know, we say, you know, it's a new start. You know, here's an encouragement. When Peter says grow, that means you can grow. If you can't grow, if you can't change, then Peter wouldn't be saying that to us. But he says grow because you can grow, because you can change. The way your life is now, the way you are now, that's not the way you have to be for the rest of your life. Peter says you can grow. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's inside you. The life of God is inside you. And he wants you to grow. And he wants you to change. And he wants you to mature. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God who's at work in you. God's already at work in you. Therefore, work at your salvation. Grow in grace. Because that's what God's doing inside of you already. It's possible to grow. I hope you find this encouraging, right? I'm kind of challenging some of you who are complacent. But this is good. Healthy things grow. Living things grow. All right, we got to continue to grow. Doesn't matter how long you've known God. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You may have been a Christian for 25 years. You haven't arrived. You haven't become all that you were meant to be. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, forgetting what lies behind, looking forward to what lies ahead, I continue to press forward for the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul, entire life, he continuing to look forward, wanting to grow. None of us have arrived. Myself included. I haven't arrived. I'm very vulnerable with you guys. You know, I got a lot of flaws. I got a lot of areas I need to grow. And, you know, thanks be to God, I can grow. You know, and one of my goals in life, every single year, I want to grow in grace. Make that your goal in your life. Every single year, I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in my knowledge of God. I want to grow in my intimacy with God. 1 year ago, think about where you were at spiritually, where you were at with the Lord, where you were at in your growth and character and your habits. Have you grown in the past year? Grow. Every year, grow. You know, and the beautiful thing is, you know, it's that scene from Narnia. I forget which book or movie, but like, I just remember the scene where Aslan. I love Aslan, you know, like the strong but, you know, the tender lion, merciful, gentle, yet so powerful. And, you know, I think it's Lucy he comes to, and Lucy just runs into him in the woods. And she's like, Aslan. And he's like, you've grown. And Aslan's like, every year you grow, so shall I. And I remember watching that scene in the movie. And I was like, oh, snap, that's D right there. It's like, you know, that's so true, though. Every year that we grow, God grows. What does that mean? God doesn't grow, but he grows. Like, our understanding of him, our grasp of him, our sense of who God is gets bigger and bigger. You begin your walk with God, and maybe you just know God for his mercy. Maybe you just know God for his grace. You continue to grow with God. Every year, as you grow in your faith, as you grow in your walk, God grows. More glorious, more powerful, more merciful, more wise, more faithful. God is infinitely glorious. And the Bible says, not only every year of our earthly lives, but through our entire lives, for all of eternity, we are going to grow in our knowledge of God. How do you grow in your knowledge of someone for eternity? There must be a limit, right? Like, there's a limit to me. I'm not infinite. But God, he's infinite. And his glories are infinite. Forever and ever, for all of eternity, you're going to be growing in your wonder at God. The wonder and the splendor and the majesty and the glory. That's how infinitely amazing he is. And as we grow more and more and understand who God is and who he is to us and in our relationship with him. That is an exciting thing right there. That's so exciting. Every year we grow, so does God. Have you begun that adventure? There's so much to God. However many years that God gives me on this earth, every single year, I want to grow in my knowledge of him. There is so much to God. So, just, man, knowing the Lord, it's an adventure. Right? So he says grow. But here's the thing. I want to point out two things. He says grow in grace and grow in knowledge. What's he talking about there, grow in grace? See, growing in grace can mean, you know, a few different things, but the one thing I want to highlight is growing in grace is different from growing in knowledge. I'll talk about knowledge in a second. But, you know, when Peter says, yeah, make every effort, yeah, we got to work hard at it as well. But the way that happens is you grow in grace. The way you grow is by God's grace. And also, the way you grow is by having a deeper grasp of God's grace. What am I talking about? Let me give you an illustration, right? The way you grow is not just you trying harder, although that is important. We got to make every effort. But at the same time, as we grow in our grasp of God's grace, his graciousness to us, that leads to growth. So let me highlight one area. It's a sensitive area that a lot of pastors don't like talking about, but it's the area of money and generosity, right? How do you grow in your generosity? Is it by just reading the commands of the Bible and just hearing a pastor say, give more, give that extra percent, you know, give more and tithes and offerings and all that stuff? No, because that's just motivating you give by guilt or motivating you to give by fear, duty, responsibility. But how do you grow by grace? You know, 2 Corinthians 8 says, Paul says, he's telling the Corinthians to be more generous. But he's saying, but I'm not forcing you to. But you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, Jesus was rich. He had the glories, infinite glories. But for your sake, he became poor. He lost it all. So that you might become rich in him. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you understand that grace, it's like, oh man, you know, before I wanted to hold on to my money. Money was my life. Money was my meaning. Money was my security. Money was my, you know, way to get status, success, whatever. It's like, I don't want to give more. And people were like, give, give. And it's like, no. And then you realize the grace of our Lord Jesus. Like everything you have is by grace. And he lost everything. He lost everything. He gave everything up so that you could be rich spiritually. So that you could have life. And it's like, oh man, if Jesus did that for me, like how can I be tight-fisted with my money? He gave it freely. Freely I receive, so I freely give. The deeper you grow in your grasp of grace, grow in grace. Cultivate your intimacy and your relationship with God. Make every effort. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray. Continue to come out together as a community. Don't lose your stability. Grow in grace. But Paul also says, grow in knowledge. You know, no, Peter. This is the book of Peter. What am I talking about? I've been talking about Paul a lot. All right, you know, Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got to grow in knowledge too. This knowledge is both like doctrinal, intellectual, biblical knowledge, as well as personal knowledge of Jesus. Right? And we got to grow. You know, some people, they don't like knowledge. They're like, oh, I know Christians who have so much knowledge. They're all about knowledge, and they know so much of the Bible, but, you know, their life, their prayer life, you know, and it's just their graciousness and general, it's not really there. I don't really like knowledge. Some of us, we don't like knowledge. Why do I keep saying knowledge? I don't know, right? But anyways, you know, you got to grow knowledge. You know why? Because right here, Peter says, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. And right, he says, the way you're going to lose your own stability is by being carried away by people who are teaching errors. If you don't grow in knowledge, you're very vulnerable. You're very susceptible to any person who comes along and teaches this or that. You know, that's exactly what Peter's been saying. He says some of these false teachers, they take the words of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and they twist it to their own destruction. Peter's like, listen, some of the things that Paul writes, they're hard to understand. I'm an apostle. I'm Apostle Peter. And some of the things that Paul writes is kind of hard to understand. And you know, it's like, oh, thank you, because sometimes when I read the letters of Paul, it's, you know, there's some hard stuff in there. But you see these false teachers, they're twisting it. And this, these people, are they're getting vulnerable to this false teaching. And Peter's like, grow in knowledge. You're vulnerable. You're going to be led astray. You're going to be carried away. You know, a lot of times the way we lose our faith, the way people fall away from the faith, is they're carried away. That's the words that Peter uses here. They're carried away by error. And a lot of times we start hanging out with the wrong people, people who have certain views of God, certain views of Scripture, certain views of the Christian life, and they start to poison us, infect us. And if you don't have a strong base of knowledge, and if you're not growing in knowledge, you're going to start to be carried away. Well, is it really bad to do that? Is it really wrong to live that kind of life? And you start getting carried away by error. You know, I've known, it just boggles my mind. I've known some churches that teach that it's okay for a couple who's not married to live together, sleep together, have sex together. And like, I saw people go at this church and the lives that they were living. And I was like, what are they teaching at that church? And I saw them getting carried away by error because they weren't growing in knowledge themselves. They're being led away, carried away. We got to grow in knowledge. Yeah, you got to grow in your intimacy with God. That's very important. But don't pit that against knowledge. Don't pit that against biblical understanding. You know, teaching of Scripture. Very important. You build a certain fiber and a certain strength to your faith. That's why I say read the Bible, study the Bible, as well as meditate on the Bible. If you've been coming out to my Sabbath Bible studies, Sabbath series, I've been, you know, touching on how to spend time with God. It's all about how to grow in grace and in knowledge. Wednesdays, 7 p.m., Redfern Apartment. Grow. But he says grow in knowledge. We got to always be growing. And, you know, you see how, you know, after Peter says his heart for them, don't get stagnant, don't get complacent, but grow. That's the way you guard yourself. That's the way you keep yourself firm. And then how does he end? He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. You know, a lot of phrases, you see oftentimes in the New Testament, there's these doxologies. To God be the glory and the honor forever and ever. You know, to the King, immortal, invisible, all this stuff. But Peter, he uses an interesting phrase here that is not used in any other doxology. He says, both now and to the day of eternity. No other doxology has that. What's he talking about there? If you read the book of 2 Peter, earlier in chapter 3, Peter talks about the day of the Lord. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day that he's going to come, the day that he's going to return. That's going to be the end of this world, the end of this life. And he says, that day's coming. This is very applicable to us because 2015, we talked a lot about the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus. Peter has that in mind right here. He's meditating on that day. And you know, earlier in chapter 3, Peter's like, listen, there's going to be false teachers who come in and they're going to scoff. And they're going to say, where's the coming of the Lord? You said Jesus was going to come. Where is it? Where's he at, homie? I don't see him coming. Right? They're going to say, ever since the beginning of the world, life is just going on. Normal. Just the way it has always been. And Peter's like, okay, but listen, you overlooked this one fact. That long ago, there was a flood. And God did judge the world. That was a day of the Lord that came. And the whole world was judged. And he says, also, you overlooked another fact. That with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. God is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. People are like, where's Jesus? Where's his return? 2015, Shemitah, he didn't return. Where you at? Nothing happened. You know what? I'm going to just get complacent. I'm going to just get comfortable. I'm going to settle into this world, enjoy my worldly, material enjoyments and pleasures. And Peter's like, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. God is not slow to come. If he is delaying, it's because he's patient. So that people might repent. So that sinners might come to repentance. That's why he's delaying. But he's saying, don't get complacent. The false teachers are saying, where's the day of the Lord? Don't be carried away by their teaching. He says, watch. When that day comes, the day of the Lord, the heavens and the earth are going to be burned up, dissolved. And he says, what kind of lives ought we to be living? In holiness and in righteousness. When Pastor Christian, he first started talking about the Shemitah, all of us were like, oh man, I got to live a holy life. I got to live a righteous life. I got to stop doing that. I got to start doing this. I got to start, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, well, nothing happened. Oh, I'm going to just chill. Oh, I'm safe now. It's secure. And Peter's like, hey, watch your life. Don't get complacent. That day of the Lord is still coming. And if it delays, it's because of God's patience. But if you know that day is coming, consider what kind of lives you ought to be living. Even as he says, don't lose your stability. Grow in grace and in knowledge. To Jesus be the glory, both now and not forever, to the day of eternity. When Jesus returns, that's going to be the beginning of the day of eternity. It's like, well, how's that the beginning of a day? You know, I thought it's going to be days and years. And no. Well, you see, a day is like 1,000 years to God. That day of eternity is going to begin. We're going to stand face to face before God. He's going to examine us, how we lived our lives. How did you live? How did you live? A lot of us, at the end of the year, we like to look back, reflect on our year. How did I live this past year? And we like to look forward. How do I want to live in the new year? I want to exercise more. I want to break this bad habit. I want to sleep, different sleep patterns. I want to do this. I want to do that. All that's good. But the most important thing you should be thinking about is, how am I going to stand before God? His all-searching eye sees every single thing about our lives. There's nothing hidden now that will not be revealed. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. That day of eternity is coming. Don't tell yourself that it's slow. Live in light of it. Don't lose your stability. Guard yourself. Grow. Grow. Please grow in the grace and the knowledge. Let 2016 be the year that you grow in grace, that you grow in your faith. Let 2016 be a year that we grow as a community. Let's not be complacent in the firm standing that God has given us. Listen, I'm so thankful for what God's doing. I don't want to be complacent. We can't become complacent. We got to continue seeking, continue pressing in, continue to grow. You know, one of the things that, man, for me, I know one of the things I'm going to have to answer on the day of eternity, because I'm a pastor, I'm going to have to give an account for y'all. James 3 says, not many of you should become teachers, for we know that we will be judged with a greater strictness. It's like, oh, snap. A greater strictness? Like, the already strictness is enough, right? It's a greater strictness. Oh, my gosh. That's not a light thing. Some of you guys, God's calling you to be a teacher? All right, consider that verse too, okay? But, you know, God's called me, and just my heart for you, end of this year. Whether you've been faithfully walking, whether you've been slowing down, getting a bit complacent, whether you're in a dangerous position and you've been falling, I just want to stir you up. No matter where you're at, no matter where you are, continue to grow more. I'm not complacent. I'm not happy with where I'm at. I need to continue to grow. That needs to be our heart attitude. not only for 2016, the rest of our lives. And if we grow, if we continue to grow individually and together as a people, we're going to be able to stand on the day of eternity, stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and stand boldly. God, by your grace, I'm here. I didn't lose my stability. By your grace, you restored me. By your grace, you've been enabling me to continue to grow. And we'll stand. That's how I want to stand. Day of eternity. Let's let that be our reflections last few days of this year. Amen. Let's pray.